time to feel the rage. Welcome to Film Rage, where we talk movies in theaters, streaming, and classic films as well. Directors and actors, beware, as you cannot hide from the rage. My name is Bryce, and I'm part of the Film Rage crew, which also includes Jim. Hey there, Jim.
Hey, Bryce.
And fresh off his vacation to the Dominican Republic, it's Murray. How was the Dominican Republic?
Is that where I went?
I thought so.
Sure, let's go with that.
Is that where it was?
Sure.
I was Puerto told that's Plata. Where you went.
Puerto Plata.
How was it?
Hot.
Nice and hot.
Pretty
nice,
damn hot.
You missed out on some cold, bloody weather here, let me tell you.
That's what I hear.
All right. So with the introductions out of the way, let's rage on.
Ooh. Thanks to all been supporting us. If you love our independent podcast, please like, subscribe, share, and give us a 5-star rating on your listening platform. Or support us and join the Film Rage community by joining our membership at buymeacoffee.com/FilmRageYYC. If you cannot commit to membership, you can still buy us a movie rental and dare us to see a terrible movie. And we'll watch it. Played anywhere in the cinemas, and it's not a children's movie, although it could be a childish movie, but it can't be made specifically for children.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, let's get to raging. But first, here's a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Bryce, what are you doing tonight?
I'm going to my favorite cinema, Canyon Meadow Cinema, to see the best second-run movies at the best price.
What? How inexpensive are they?
Regular price is $5, $5.
Regular price is $5, $5. Makes me hope they also serve pizza.
They do, plus a lot of other great food choices. Plus, I'm planning my office Christmas party there. They can host a plethora of options for any get-together. Gaming, movie, drag show?
Drag show? Now I know where I'm planning my next party.
Hey, maybe you think there's a Liam Neeson or a superhero movie planned?
I hope not. But maybe there'll be a great independent documentary.
Sure. Call CMC at 403-670-5444 to book a special event or go online at canyonmeadowscinemas.ca.
What would the amazing mama predict? What would the amazing mama predict? Will he predict the moon or will he predict the rage? Will he tell us all about the movies we are going to talk about this week that Bryce and Jim saw? I think you should be ready.
Yeah, well, he better get the first one right, because it was my best movie of the year last year.
It's kind of a giveaway for Bryce.
Although I did watch it a second time, maybe I changed my mind, Merman.
Maybe his second time.
Maybe it was not his first favorite movie.
You never
Maybe it was his second favorite second movie. Time. He said, you know what? Actually, 20,000 Species of Bees was better.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Sorry, is that a spoiler? That maybe I didn't like it as much.
Okay, well, you guys went to see two movies this week.
We did.
I saw none because the one I was going to see wasn't playing at my local theater. And it was too goddamn cold to go anywhere else. So.
Plus, your car can't drive over a centimeter of snow.
That's right, it can't.
He's got bald tires.
Not
just
bald
like
tires.
His testicles.
I just have 8 horsepower that doesn't like being slowed down.
So, if you got bald tires, though, isn't
They're
more
not bald.
Isn't more of your tire on the ice, so you should have better control?
No, that's not how science
Not when
works.
You drive a V8 and have a rear-wheel drive.
Yeah,
but more
see.
Of your tire is in contact with the
matter.
Surface, so you should have better control.
It's
winter,
not even touching the ground.
I had winter tires. It didn't help.
Ice.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I didn't go out. Plus, it was too cold.
So the one we saw was called
Perfect Days,
which happened to be Bryce's favorite movie of last year. It was finally released in wide release cinemas.
That is correct.
Which seems kind of weird.
Like 6 months after it hits the festival
Yeah, like
circuit.
It hits the festival circuit and then it can make it for the award shows, but then we don't actually get to see it until this year.
Well,
that
movie about the Holocaust or World War II, whatever the hell it was,
was nominated
for an Oscar and didn't even come out yet. So you guys saw it like after the nomination?
Well, it did. It did come out though.
We just didn't get it in our city. Yeah. Anyway, maybe that's what happened to Perfect Days too.
Maybe. Anyway, this I think is a no-brainer. I'm pretty sure you guys both mondoed this. Jim actually hated it, which I couldn't see. But
all right, mondo. Yeah. Got it.
Driveway Dolls. I was gonna go see because it was a Coen movie, not brothers.
Half a Coen.
Apparently, the less talented one.
Why do you say that?
I'm just saying.
What are you basing this on?
His last few movies that he did by himself. So it looked interesting. I kind of wanted to see. It looked kind of funny. It had a nice cast of characters.
And one of our favorite subgenres.
One of your favorite subgenres.
Lesbian road movies.
There you go.
Yeah.
It had funny lines in it.
It did.
I just don't think you guys loved it very much. No. Everything that I've been hearing, it was not good of a movie. So.
Oh, okay.
How ungood was it?
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think there?
Think you guys raged about it because I heard Jim laughing at the trailer, so you must have found some parts of it funny.
That doesn't mean the whole movie. I could have been laughing at it, not with it.
I think because it's a Coen, I think maybe you give it a meh.
All right.
So we both met it?
Sure.
Both med it? Met it.
Yeah.
All right.
Again, don't really care.
That's the spirit, Mur.
You guys care about this
more
than
spirit,
I do.
That's the spirit, Mur. Yeah. That's what our listeners love to hear.
I don't care.
Whatever.
Okay.
So, we saw Perfect Days. You got to see it twice.
This is the second time I've seen it, yes.
Yeah. So why don't you tell, because the last time you talked about it, we really didn't have a lot we were allowed to say about it.
We just kind of
kept it to a little bit of a, you know, sprinkling.
Yeah, I liked it.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it? Is that all you're going to say?
Yeah, I guess I'll say it.
Say it.
Not going to give the plot away or anything?
Oh, I'm going to totally give the plot
away.
I'm
going to give everything.
I'm going to give everything. I'm basically just going to tell you about the whole movie.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
But you know what? Yeah. It doesn't matter that I tell you about the whole movie because you still need to go see it. No. You still need to just go see it. Perfect Days is a story of a man who lives in Tokyo who cleans public toilets for a living. It follows him through his everyday life as he gets up, waters his plants, brushes his teeth, takes a deep breath, and looks up to the sky as he steps out his front door to go through his regular daily routine. Gets his coffee out of the vending machine, gets in his van, pops in a cassette tape from his impressive collection of music that includes Lou Reed, with and without the Velvet Underground, The Animals, Otis Redding, The Rolling Stones, The Kinks, and Van Morrison, to name a few. The man has some good taste in music. And then it's off to work where he cleans public toilets around the city. At his job, he takes pride in every toilet he cleans, even getting out a mirror to inspect the places it hide from casual viewing. He interacts with various folks and co-workers, he eats lunch and takes a picture of a tree. And at the end of the day, he may go to a bathhouse or eat at a local establishment. Every night he reads until his eyes grow heavy, and then he goes to sleep, only to wake up the next day and do it all again. This is essentially the film, although his routine does get messed up by a visit from his niece. She shows up and shakes things up a little as we get to know more about this man, but not too much. We learn that he lived in a very different world in the past, but we don't really get any details. Every shot in this film has a weight to it, and every character is worthwhile. The film rests firmly on the performance of Koji Yakusho, who, with very little to say throughout the film, portrays a complex and truly fascinating character. If ever a film was the sum of its parts, this is it. Every little interaction in every scene has purpose, and the whole sum of these scenes makes a film that is a beautiful experience. I love this movie. It is Mondo.
No surprise.
Nope.
Okay, now here's what I thought about it. So what people have been wanting to know is, what is it really? What is it actually? This film is a soft, slow, overarching influence that slowly absorbs into your being through small moments in time throughout the film. All done through our lead,
Koji Yakusho.
Hiriyama, played by Koji Yakusho.
Yakusho.
Yakusho? Is that right? Yakusho?
Yakusho.
Yakusho?
Yeah. Japanese names sound are pronounced exactly how they're spelled. That's a beautiful thing about Japanese.
That's just one of the great things about Japanese language.
But it's the best. You look at it, Tommy Yama is Tommy Yama.
Yeah.
Yakusho's Yakusho. Yeah.
There you have it. Whose mere presence on screen brings joy and breathes peace into everyone, including me, as I watch this. In this story, where you may have literally the shittiest job on the planet, do it to the best of your ability no matter what, and live a life that has the ability to have a perfect day every day. For some, it may be waking up every morning to your neighbor sweeping the walk, followed by getting an iced coffee from a vending machine, yes, driving to some of the coolest, and I mean coolest, public toilets anywhere in the world, and then spend all day cleaning them. But in between, finding joy in everyone you interact with, where little things every day can bring joy in your heart and a smile that could light up the trees that happen to also be his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Give in to routines of going to the same places for dinner and getting through the day, going from toilet to toilet by listening to cassette tapes of classic 60s and 70s music, as Bryce has already explained. Each person our lead, Hirayama, bumps into seems to connect to him in small ways, and they embrace the joy he shares in everything he does, be it work or going to both bathhouses or buying $1 books to read once a week, or just helping people. He carries a feeling of sharing and caring and empathy and love for not just the common man, but all things that he comes into contact with. Yes, this movie is maybe about a man who cleans toilets, but it's much more, as it is a blueprint we should all live by, where we can care about things and people and find joy in every single thing that we do, whether we think this is the most glamorous thing we're doing. And if we do, it will spill out of us and into those around us. If you find a paper in a bathroom toilet that looks like someone has started to play tic-tac-toe, make the next move and don't worry about the future, because then is then and now is now. This film is a film that filled me with quiet, calming joy for 2 solid hours, and it is very, very Mondo.
Yes, it is.
It is. You know, every single movement in this film seems so natural.
Yep.
And, you know, there's just scenes in it that, so there's a scene in this movie that it, you know, I didn't actually cry through this, but it's because I had so much joy in my heart, but I almost cried. Mm-hmm. There's a scene in this movie where there's this, he has a partner, Murray, that is kind of, they both interact. They kind of align for one toilet cleaning.
Clean toilets.
Yes, because there's a lot of toilets. Like, in Japan, there's a ton. In Tokyo in particular, there's a ton.
I want to go to Tokyo and just take a toilet tour, man.
Yeah, man. These toilets are so cool.
So they're cleaner than ours.
Yeah. Oh, well, if he's still there, I'm sure they are. But so his partner is a guy that's kind of funny, and he puts a number to every single thing. He's like, my girlfriend, she's 10 out of 10. And then she's like, he's talking to him later on in the movie, and he's like, you've been so good to me. Like, you're just been the absolute best. You're like 8 out of 10. So everything was rated out of 10, which just made his character so endearing. But there's a scene in the movie, and you know, he's kind of thinking this guy's a bit of a slacker, and he doesn't have a lot of respect for this guy. And so he's cleaning the toilet in the one side, and our star is cleaning in the other side. And there's this kid that comes in who is developmentally disabled, and he comes in and he starts playing with his ears.
Yeah.
And he's just like the kid that's actually his partner. It just has this beam of joy about him that this kid and him have connected on a deeper level. And then he kind of looks over at him. He says, yeah, he's like, he just likes to come and play with my ears. And just the look on his face to say, yeah, you know what? Like, he has this giant smile that just says, you are an idiot. You could see everything in his face. You are a complete idiot, but you are a kind soul. And right after that, like, he does things for this kid that he never would have done, because that was kind of the judgment for him to say, you know, here I thought you were a douchebag this whole time.
Yeah.
But when I see things like that, like, you are a good person. Mm. And anybody that he interacted with just would bring so much joy. Like when they have the shadow fight.
Yeah.
With this guy that it's just every single scene. It sounds like it could be slow and boring, Murray, but there's not a lot of dialogue in it.
Yeah.
It's just every scene is so well crafted. And, you know, I wish I did see this last year. It wouldn't have been my number one, but it would have made my top 10 for sure. This film,
so
I just could watch this forever because it gives me so much joy.
Yep.
It actually makes me a better person.
Mondo!
You know what that means?
Damn straight.
He's batting 1,000 today, people.
Yes, that was kind of an easy one.
That was a little bit of an easy one. Yeah, and it's not because it's nominated for anything. It just happens to be a pretty amazing best foreign feature. Maybe.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities.
20,000 Species of Bees wasn't nominated.
Well, apparently
Anatomy
of the Fall wasn't even nominated in that category, so who knows?
It's weird, but it isn't probably the one that shouldn't even be in that category.
I can't going to
win. The Zone of Interest isn't.
Oh,
in
yeah,
category,
that one's
so that's going to end up winning.
Yeah, maybe.
Which isn't bad. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but.
Man, it's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
It does deserve to win stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it you didn't care. Win either any of our awards.
But you don't care.
That really didn't matter. You're right. I don't really give a flying fart. All right, so the other one we got to see was called Drive Away Dolls.
Mm.
So road movies, you know, like Harold and Kumar or Thelma and Louise or Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay. Well, pretty much anything with Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not always my favorite genre, I'm going to be honest. Because most of the time they have the same format, especially when severed heads are part of the plot line.
I loved Harold and Kumar.
Yeah, so do I.
I love the 3D Christmas too.
Yeah, Harold and Kumar is the only road movies that I actually like.
There you go.
Because they're awesome. Yeah, so, unless it's a Harold and Kumar movie, I'm normally not interested in buddy films or road trip films or anything that has related with that. But this one was a bit of a switch one because, number one, Harold and Kumar weren't in it. But also, it didn't annoy me because it had super hilarious dykes / lesbians / dolls, depending on where you are in the movie. There are some...
what decade you're in?
No. Just like they refer to themselves in those three things at any time in some different times in the movie. Mm-hmm. So there are some steamy sex scenes, some nudity, mm-hmm. a lot of filthy, filthy, filthy funny dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and great casting with a bit part by Pedro Pascal, who is fantastic as a head.
He's in everything.
Matt Damon. And the best of the entire crew is Bill Camp as Curly.
Yeah.
Every single thing that came out of Curly's mouth was like Coen Brothers gold.
Who
that was just
incidentally is a bald guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Bill Camp is actually Bryce and I talked about, and we'll talk about Bill Camp in a minute.
Follically challenged.
Yeah. So there's a lot of funny in this. And I laughed at a lot of it. After all, I do love, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, filthy lesbian humor. And our leads, Margaret Qualley and Geraldine Wiswanathan, were quite awesome as the crazy friend and the straight man in regards to the, you know, road type movies. You know, see when I went all back to Bing Crosby and what's his face?
Mm.
It almost made me think that this was like what Bryce and I would look like if we were on a road trip. As hilarious lesbians in a road movie where we weren't Harold and Kumar. Of course, Bryce would, of course, be the straight man, and me, of course, being the obvious crazy weirdo to his completely serious straight manness. That's what I'm thinking. As I was watching, I was just like, that's you. That's totally... Like, every time the straight man character / straight lesbian character would do something...
I'm Marion?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
You're the straight man.
And you're Jamie.
Yeah, okay. I'm totally. I'm the wackadoo.
You're the one with the stick up her ass,
that's
basically.
Right. Well, we can talk about that later. Okay, so... Ethan Coen still has his dry and fun way about his direction. But I can't help... as I watch this, think how much better this could have been if it had Joel Cohen involved in it.
Exactly.
So I did really enjoy it. But as I said, road movies are not my favorite. And Harold and Kumar aside, so count yourself lucky you're getting away with a very solid man. And I got things to unpack on this.
And
but
you know what else you would have got?
What?
If you would have got Joel Cohen.
What?
Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
Which, she would have been in it too.
I don't know who she would have played, but...
Yeah. Saying it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Because
she's in all of his movies.
Yeah. But I got some unpacking to do, but I want to hear what you have to say.
So yeah, I mean... Was this entertaining?
Yes.
Yes.
Was Curly fantastic?
Curly was fantastic. And here's the thing about this movie is as you watch it, they couldn't have cast it any better. Margaret Qualley is a force of nature as Jamie. She is so good.
Yep.
Geraldine Viswanathan as Marion is so good.
Yeah.
Anytime Beanie Feldstein's in anything, she's always great.
Oh, God, she's freaking hilarious.
You know, Joey Slotnick, it was just nice to see him in a movie again as one of the goons. Coleman Domingo was in it. He was great. Pedro Pascal was great. Bill Camp was, as you mentioned, kind of stole the show. Matt Damon was fine.
And he had a huge penis, by the way, Murray.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
He actually had the penis everybody wanted to have sex with.
And that's the thing about this movie is the performances were great. The laughs were there. But as a whole movie, it just felt disjointed and it just wasn't fluid.
Yep.
And there's great scenes in it.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just didn't flow. And that was the only problem I had with it. And it's a big problem. But at the end of the day, was I entertained? Hell yeah, I was entertained. I had a good time at this movie, and there were a lot of funny, like laugh out loud scenes.
Yeah.
But when you break it all down, it's not a fluid movie, and there's just too many weird breaks in the action and kind of stops and starts.
I think it's the pacing.
The pacing was odd.
The pacing was odd. And the transition between scenes was kind of odd. And then, like, they made it freaking hilarious for some, like, most of the first half of the movie. And then this is what I find with comedies or comedy dramas or comedy road movies or anything that's comedy related to this, whatever, is that they get into this groove and then all of a sudden they go, you know what we forgot to do was ingest some of the other plot in here. And then they get away from the comedy part, and it's, if they could have stuck with the comedy straight through, it might have been more cohesive.
Yeah, and I mean, and the comedy pops up, like, it doesn't take too long for the comedy to pop up again, but it does lose some steam towards the end. You know, at the beginning we've got, you know, just nothing but craziness going on, bang bang bang, it's rapid fire. And then, you know, as these movies typically do, they lose a little steam towards the end. You know, you can't have wall-mounted dildos through the whole movie.
You could have had some,
but why not?
Yeah, exactly. They could, why didn't they have like a wall of dildos? That would have been so good.
Anyways, so
I mean, that scene alone, like, was so good because they basically break up, right? There's these two, this lesbian couple that they break up because the other one likes to fuck everybody. And so
I can guess which one
she
is.
So she came to pick up her stuff, and then the one is crying and she's like, she's trying to take the wall dildo off. Not the wall, because if we can't share it, I just want you to have it.
It was meh.
I might have given it a Mondo if I'd seen it, but again, it wasn't playing in my local theater. So
you might have.
And you know what? And it was generally Coen Brothers Coen movies, kind of run a little long sometimes.
Yeah.
This one did. Hour and 24 breezy minutes.
Yep.
And it's exactly what it should have been.
Yep.
But it was meh. I enjoyed it a lot. I laughed a lot. There was just it lacked fluidity, and I don't know. Just when you finish watching it, you don't say to yourself, that was a great movie. You say, that was a good movie.
I said that was fun. When I walked out, I said, that was pretty fun.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't say that was like, but you know what? Here's
the
thing.
And that's fine, by the way. We need that type of movie. They all can't be freaking masterpieces.
No, but
every now and then I just want to laugh a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't you also?
I'd like to laugh in a masterpiece. Absolutely.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Like Poor Things.
Yeah. Also, you know, hilarious.
Hilarious and a freaking masterpiece.
So what'd you think of the whole, like, it has kind of this, it's got an underlining filth moniker bit to it. So mm-hmm. It's pretty filthy through the entire movie.
It is.
Which is great. But, you know, the whole reason why the movie exists is because these famous people had their dicks molded.
Yes.
Which it kind of
Kiss even wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
Plaster caster, grab a hold of me faster. If you wanna see my love, just ask her.
Yeah, so it was that. And by the time
it's off
that
the
it's
rock
revealed,
and roll. No, it's off the Love Gun.
Yeah, cares. Of course.
Album.
But as it is, as this is revealed that this is what this is, the guy and Matt Damon's gonna pay them $1 million to get his cast back.
Yes.
It was just kind of like I know it was supposed to be funny, but it kind of didn't hit the mark because it was kind of like, really? Someone's gonna pay $1 million for their dick? Like, who's even gonna believe
not
that?
Only his dick, but a bunch of other guys.
A bunch of dicks. Yeah. Yeah, and there's one guy's dick in there that was like, it looked like it was a brick. Like, that's Brick Dick House, I think is what they call it.
Was it Ben Affleck? Because he's the biggest dick I know.
you actually don't know him.
That was a ba-dum-dum. A ba-dum-dum.
Totally was. Say it.
That would be the finest actor of mine or anybody else's generation, Mr. Ben Affleck.
Still a big dick.
Yeah. There you go. Maybe it was. Maybe that was all
maybe
of the
it
Coen's
was.
Friends.
Maybe that's why Jennifer Lopez is still with them.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know what we're talking
after
about
anymore.
They
split up the first time. Well, I just don't get that.
Well,
because she realized what a mistake she made, obviously.
Well, no, they were together for like 2 or 3 years and they broke up a decade ago. Now they're back together again. I don't get it.
Well,
what's changed? Nothing.
Apparently, he's still not circumcised. So
apparently.
Anyway, if that's his dick in the movie. Saying.
I don't think it is.
Anyway. Maybe not.
It had Matt Damon, so there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. Why is this conversation going down this avenue?
Because we're talking about Matt Damon and big dicks. And like I said,
his
best friend is the biggest dick around.
You had to sing a terrible Kiss song.
Exactly.
So we're just
if you could do your tangent of singing, I can talk about, you know.
Do his tangent on potentially.
Anyway, so that was a man.
Yeah.
All right, then.
There you go. And look at that. The Amazing Merman is still amazing.
Wasn't that hard this week? Yeah, don't really have a whole lot. I guess I got two pieces of news I can share.
Two pieces?
One's good, one's, I guess, not bad, but unfortunate. The first one, which was announced yesterday.
You have syphilis?
No.
Oh.
Is for the Oscars, which you guys don't care about.
You're right.
Mr. Ryan Gosling.
Right.
Has been announced.
Yes.
He's going to be singing his song.
He has syphilis? Oh, sorry.
No, he's going to be singing Ken.
I'm Just Ken?
Just Ken, Ken. It's so nominated for an Oscar, and he's going to get to sing
it. The song Just Ken was nominated for an Oscar?
For best song.
Yes, it was.
As was the Billie Eilish one.
What the fuck is wrong with this planet we live on?
It's probably going to win.
I don't know if it will.
I think it will.
This is a joke.
There was that Flowers one. Flowers,
really?
Moon, whatever
this,
it is.
Yeah.
This is the.
I'm just saying, I don't give a shit who wins. I just want to see Ryan Gosling sing the song.
Yeah, and what I want to say is, who in their right mind would nominate that as one of the best songs in any movie?
Like,
it's
just.
It's not a lot of original songs to pick from these days.
If Adele could win a freaking Oscar for a Bond movie, then anybody else?
How many movies were released internationally that were released with
that had original songs?
There's probably been 200,000 that were released that had original songs.
No.
And the best they could have is I'm Ken.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, anyways. It was an awesome song. Anyway.
You know, Merman Minutes go on for like 45 minutes these days.
It's because of you guys.
If you want to wrap this up so he can continue.
I just made the announcement. You guys wouldn't shut up about it.
It's true. I wouldn't.
The other piece of news.
Is this good news or bad news?
Take it how you want it. Another celebrity death today.
Oh. Mm.
Richard Lewis.
Ah.
Who may be one of the worst actors I've ever seen in anything, but he's sort of funny.
Richard Lewis is a stand-up comic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he died. 76.
That's sad.
He's 76?
He was 76. He was 76, yeah.
Really?
One thing I remember him from was that Robin Hood
parody
movie. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, Richard Lewis was kind of funny. He had the whole neurotic thing going.
He was okay.
Yeah.
he wasn't the funniest guy I ever saw, but he had his moments.
He was fine.
Anyway, he died.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Temperature rising. Vision blurring. Rage taking over.
Sweet rage, how I love you so.
This week, my rage is Landmark.
Again?
Yeah. Because Bryce and I wanted to go sit and look down on all those below us at our movie theater. And I walked into the movie theater and walked up two steps. And every step I made to get to the top, it was like I was losing oxygen because it was so fucking hot in the cinema that we were in. It's like, you know, this is the reason why people don't go to the movies, because it's more comfortable to sit in their house and watch it because they can adjust their own temperature. It's like they can't seem to get it right. It was awful. We had to sit in the front row. It was terrible.
I was sitting in the front row.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
That's my rage.
Yeah, right then.
I don't disagree.
And on top of that, wait, there's more.
Oh, there's more.
That, yeah.
Apparently that wasn't his rage.
Yeah, I have another rage. No, there's week. I have two rages.
Two rages.
Because the other movie that we saw, do you remember this? Okay. I, who am slowly trying to save the planet, yeah, apparently by myself.
Oh, the water thing.
Yeah. Is this not enough to make me want to rage?
It absolutely is.
Go and refill your
preach
water.
On,
so,
mister.
So everybody knows, who knows me, I carry around my water jug. I'll carry around my own straw, which I wash at home. I don't need people killing fucking trees so I can have a fucking glass of water in the theater. Mm-hmm. So I bring my cup over and say, can you just fill this up with the water? And she's like, wait, yeah, we can't do that because of sanitary reasons. I'm like, my fucking cup is not going stuffed up the pop machine. I just want you to pour some fucking water in it. But no, she had to kill a tree. She went out back, cut it down, scooped it out, poured plastic and wax on it, and then poured water in it, and then I took the glass, poured the water into my cup, and then she then threw that out, which killed a tree, and now our planet is dying because of her. Like, just infuriated
She's a
me.
Terrible person.
She's itch. The worst. So, my complaint this week is, you know what, we're not seeing enough movies at CMC, the Plaza, and the Globe.
That's right.
Because they would never do that. They would let me use my cup. Because you know what? They know how to put water into a cup without having to create a new cup. That's my rage this week. Maybe it's a double whammy.
Maybe she wanted you to
double
buy popcorn.
Rage.
Yeah, that too.
She didn't want to give you something for free. Maybe that was her issue.
No, she gave me the free water. She was a weirdo. And
she actually spent more money by wasting a cup.
Wasting a cup, yeah, exactly.
Well, shit happens.
Not to me, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Yeah, my rage this week is I had... Why are you showing me a big picture of Richard Lewis?
Because he's dead.
Well, that's...
Is that what made you rage?
That's neither
that
here
Richard
nor there.
Lewis is dead?
Now, my rage is the fact that I went to Cineplex and got a big bag of popcorn, and it was so salty I could barely eat it.
That was pretty funny.
It was awful. And then I went to Landmark the next day, and I'm like, well, you know what? I'll have a popcorn there. You know what? It wasn't as salty as Cineplex, but it was still way too salty. Why are they... like, it was not this salty before. What is going on with the
you
salt?
You want to hear my theory on this?
Oh, I want to hear
Go
this
ahead.
Theory.
Well, being someone who is, you know, familiar with marketing and the world of cinema...
And salt intolerant?
They make it saltier, so you buy something to drink.
Yeah, it's
because they want to sell you soda, the extra large size soda.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, but
this is not a new concept.
Except Landmark shouldn't do that because in Landmark's case, they'd be better off not making it less salty
because you get a free
Bryce
refill.
Gets a free refill.
Yeah, but only with a large, apparently.
Only with a large,
he
and only
gets
if you're
a large.
And theoretically only if you're part of their Cine Club. But yes. Nobody
theoretically
follows that. everybody just goes and refills.
Some of us don't even do that. Some of us just go and refill it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just saying.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. No, I'm with you. I haven't eaten popcorn in, I don't know, forever.
It's so salty right now. Well, I don't know what's going on. Like it's
that's why
almost,
you gotta butter it up.
You know what? But on the good side,
that just makes it saltier.
You know the good side of this for people to realize at Landmark.
Mm-hmm,
I kind of don't want the popcorn because it's too salty, but they sell potato chips.
They do.
Which are also salty, yeah. But not as salty as popcorn.
And only for
which
about,
I didn't know they did
only
that.
Only for about five times what you'd spend at the grocery
store.
But
then I get 20% off because I'm
you can spend $6 bucks on a small bag of chips.
So then it's only four times
exactly.
as much.
Exactly.
Well, you just,
what a deal.
But you know, then I'm going to, on the flip side of that, when I went to go buy one, there was like probably eight bags that I ended up getting Cheesies. Mm-hmm, and there's eight bags, and six were expired.
Nice.
If I would have just taken the front one, I would have had expired Cheesies.
So the moral of the story is check the date on the Cheesies before you buy them at
exactly.
Landmark.
That's right.
All right, then.
That was pretty good rages. I'm not going to lie.
I thought they were kind of sad.
Rage subsiding.
Kind of.
Pulse slowing.
It's like rage light. Rage.
Yeah, all right.
Armando.
So, you know what? Just to let everybody know, we're going to be back to normal next week. We're going to have Rage or Dare. Casey's back. We're going to have the list. There's so much going on next week. Do not miss our episodes. And thanks, Ragers, for listening. Thanks to the extended Film Rage family, who you can find in our show notes. Thanks to Casey, the nerdy photographer, for the voice of Rager Dare. Find us on social media everywhere at Film Rage YYC. Check out everything Film Rage at filmrageyyc.com, including our merch site for Redbubble and TeePublic. You too can rage with your granny. We always wanted to make this a raging blast for all listeners, so please comment, like, and subscribe, and send us emails to filmragecalgary@gmail.com. Dare to see terrible movies to fuel our rage, but no matter what you do, please, 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 pretty please, 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 make us rage. That's it for this week. Rage on.
Rage on.